BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. I'd like to ask you a question. Do miracles still happen today? Is God really at work in modern times, or did he only do miracles and mighty acts in biblical times, like through Moses, Elijah, and the Apostle Paul? Well, our guest today has a story to tell. It's a story of God at work and how countless lives have been impacted as a result. Today on Crosstalk, we welcome John Gillespie, co-founder of the Rawhide Boys Ranch of New London, Wisconsin. He co-founded Rawhide with his wife Jan, who went home to be with the Lord in 2017. John is the author of the book, Our 351 Sons, telling us how the Rawhide Boys Ranch began. John, thanks so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Jim, I'm delighted to be here. It's a little bittersweet. This is the first time I've been on Crosstalk since we lost my good friend and brother, Vic Eliason, but he is in a better place than we are.
Amen.
So we just thank you for him. Thank you for you carrying on the ministry.
Well, John, before we get to the amazing, miraculous start of Rawhide Boys Ranch, tell us a little bit about your background and the Lord bringing you and Jan together. I mean, you were quite a young age when you first met.
I was a second grader in a one-room country school that my father went to and our oldest son went to after we were married and had children of our own before the Boys Ranch started. But I was a second grader, and a family moved into the house, a farm next door, and they had a daughter, a third grader, named Jan. And she and I sat next to each other in this big one-room school, and she became my best friend, and later on, my wonderful wife of 60 years, and a lifetime ministry that God called us into.
Amen. Well, John, you referenced Vic Eliason, and you actually were directors in Appleton of the Youth for Christ group there, when you actually partnered with Vic Eliason for a special event.
We did. I talked to Vic, and I married, either fortunately or unfortunately, financial-wise, a horse gal. And her father had a horse ranch, and so I was required to like horses, and they were okay. But we came up with an idea to challenge teens. We always had a concept through our work with our church youth group and through the Youth for Christ program to embark teenagers on out-of-the-box type experiences to grow them and give them a chance to share their ministry and their love for Christ. So we came and talked to Vic and said, Vic, we got an idea. Let's get a group of teenagers from around the state, maybe about 50, some that have musical talents, the ability to speak, and kids that either have horses, can borrow a horse, or we can borrow one for them, and let's take them on a horseback ride. And Vic said, well, okay, what, where and when? He said, well, it's going to take a year to plan this, but let's take them on a horseback ride from Menominee Park in Milwaukee, and let's ride up to Rhinelander, Wisconsin, to Fort Wilderness Camp. And Vic said, that's going to take more than one day. I said, yeah, well, it's going to take 2 weeks, and we'll go anywhere from 15 to 20 miles a day. And we had it all mapped out. And it took about 2 minutes, and Vic says, let's do it. So he put the team together of these kids, and we put on a Western sacred musical in 14 cities along the way and just shared Jesus Christ. And it was a wonderful time. And, of course, obviously getting to know Vic very intimately.
Right. Well, and there are many stories that we could share that direction. But we're going to look at Rawhide right now. And the Rawhide story, the current Rawhide story, really begins with a boy named Jerry. So tell us about this 13-year-old boy who came to your house for part of a day.
I was teaching a class of teenagers in a little Bible church. I had 8 or 10 boys, and a 13-year-old wandered into my class, and I said, are your parents here in church? And he said, no, I just live a couple doors away, and I came over on my own. And I thought, well, okay, that's interesting. He came back the next Sunday at the end of my class. He hung around while I was putting materials together, and he said, can I come to your house today? And I said, well, sure, we have to check with your folks. And he said, well, I don't have a dad, and my mom's working, and she already said it was okay. Well, I won't go into all of the details because that's chapter one of the book. And Jerry came to our house for the afternoon, and his mom came out. We had left a note on her door, and she came out in the afternoon with a suitcase of clothes and a box of clothes. And she said, let me tell you what's going on. I've just remarried. I've got three children. I've got Jerry, who's 13, an older brother, Ronnie, who's 14, and I have a daughter who was with her. And she said, my husband has given me 30 days from our wedding of 2 weeks ago to get rid of any two of my three children.
Oh, my.
We were standing there stunned. Mm-hmm. Up until this point, nobody had ever given us a child before. And we said, just automatically, both Jan and I, of course he can live with us. Jerry stayed almost 2 years, and we were looking for a larger home, expecting our second child. And that's how the idea of Rawhide started.
But you actually got in trouble with a county welfare agency.
Oh, we didn't know that you have to have a license, be licensed as foster parents in order to have a non-relative living with you over 78 days. Well, we found out, and we ended up having to go to Madison with our local senator and talk with the lieutenant governor. And we shared our story that they wanted to take Jerry away from us, and he was there with permission of his mother. And the lieutenant governor said to the head of the social service department, here's a real sad story. And he said, I want John and Jan Gillespie licensed as state foster parents by the end of the workday today. And so we got a foster license, and when we got back to Appleton, 2 hours away, there was a representative of the local county welfare department with our foster home license. And he said, I don't know how you did this, but pretty amazing. So we were, at that point, licensed foster parents.
And that was a miracle in of itself.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing that that could happen. If you've ever worked with the government, things don't work that fast.
No.
But this one did.
Well, and even before Rawhide came about, you actually had an opportunity to become the Midwest director of YFC. To many, they would have jumped at the opportunity. How did you respond?
Well, I got to know Jay Kessler real well, and he went on to a variety of other things, but he was a national recruitment person for Youth for Christ, a great guy. And he had been on some of these events. He knew about this 300-mile horseback ride, and he made an offer to me to be the five-state director for the Midwest for Youth for Christ. And I'd have a staff car and a budget, this was pretty great. So I went home after a meeting with him, and I said to Jan, we need to pray about an offer I have just had that I think is great for us, and that's to be a vice president for this five-state region for Youth for Christ. And she listened, and she said, what would it involve? And I said, well, I would travel all five states, and I'd be in a different state every week for not long, for maybe 2 days, maybe three. She said, so how many nights a week would you be gone? And I said, about three. And she said, so that means you would only be a husband and a father four nights a week. And I said, well, I wouldn't put it that way. She said, well, I would. And I said, well, let's pray about this. She said, no. I said, what? I said, no, I'm not going to pray about it. I didn't marry a half-time husband and father. And I said, well, what if this is God's will for our lives? And she said, then he has to tell me. I'm not accepting this. And so I thought, oh, my goodness. Well, with reluctance, I said to JJ, this isn't the time for me to make this move. Within 2 weeks of that time, all of a sudden, this Rawhide Boys Ranch situation opened.
So let's talk about the birth of Rawhide here and the visit you made to a Mr. Ray Carlson.
Got a call from a gentleman by the name of Ray Carlson. And he said, I saw your literature about what you do. I had my degree and my experience and a company I had started was designing subdivisions and golf courses. Very good business. I loved it. And he had 500 acres, a beautiful site along the Wolf River in central Wisconsin. And he said, I want to sell my property and I'd like you to come out and look at it and give me a proposal to do a subdivision plan. So I said to Jan, got a request to go out and see someone. It was about 30 minutes from us, where we were living in Appleton. And so we drove out to see him, and we drove in to this estate on the end of a dead-end road, gorgeous stretch of the Wolf River. And here's this huge Swiss chalet-type building. And we met Mr. Carlson. He said, would you like to see the house? He took us in. We walked through this house, all knotty pine and three big stone fireplaces, 11 bedrooms and 5.5 bathrooms. Mm. I was standing, where we were standing in a room he called the River Room. And for years, that's what we called it when it became Rawhide. Looking out through these picture windows at this bend of the river. The river's maybe 150 feet wide at that point, and gorgeous. And literally, through the window to the river, I said, just audibly, wow, would this make a neat boys' home? And he said, very sternly, why did you say that? And I said, Jan and I have this dream that somehow, someday, we would like to start a ranch for teenage boys in trouble with the law. And he said, if this property could be used for that purpose as a nonprofit organization, he said, I would be willing to sell it for half of what I've got it listed for.
My.
And I said, how come? He said, I have a heart for teenagers today. And he said, I have the property listed for $200,000. I have an offer on it, somewhat less than that. But he said, I would sell it for $87,500. And I said, why that specific amount? He said, I want to buy a fourplex apartment unit near Lawrence University in Appleton. I will live in one unit. I'll rent out the other three. I have a military and a business pension, and I would be set. He was close to 80 and wanted to just be able to get out from under this property he had. And so then I said, oh, can I have a few days or something to give, try to put this together? And so he said, well, I could agree to not sell within a week. I'm not thinking I'm going to take this offer I've got right now, but it's almost double of what I would sell it to you for. And so we drove back to Appleton.
He wanted some earnest money.
He said, if you could put $500 down so I know you're serious, he said, I'll give you a week. And so we drive back to Appleton. We explained to
him. So you didn't pull out the $500 at that
time? Oh, yeah. Just out of college and college debt. And so starting a new business and it's a young boy. So we see Jan's father and we tell him the story. And we said, could we borrow $500 from you? So he goes in his office. He comes out with five $100 bills. And he said, here, this is a gift. This is not a loan. And we said, thank you. So we drive out, put the money down. Well, now, I'm figuring I'm going to be able to get some business people that I knew through my professional business involved. And everybody thought it was a neat idea, but we weren't set up for anything. So I said to him at the end of the week, I need more time. And he said, well, it's $500 a week. So I said, I'll see if I can raise $2,000. We drive to Pound, Wisconsin. We meet with Mr. Paul Patz and a great Christian gentleman. Tell him the story. He says, okay, I'll give you the $2,000. If this turns into a boys' ranch, you don't ever have to pay me back. But if it doesn't, someday you got to pay me back. No interest. I said, okay.
We're going to continue with the story. John Gillespie is our guest here today. We're talking about the Rawhide story. It's a book called Our 351 Sons. It's a story of God at work. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, whatever happened to Halley's Comet?
Chris, Halley's Comet is what astronomers refer to as a short-term comet. It makes an orbit around the sun every 76 years. People saw it in the early 1900s and then again in the 80s. Astronomers can keep track of it through telescopes, and they've noticed it has decreased in size. Every trip around the sun causes the comet to disintegrate, with the tail of the comet being stripped away. Halley's Comet can't make very many trips around the sun without being totally destroyed. Thus, it couldn't be millions and millions of years old. It's a short-period comet. But there are a lot of short-period comets in the solar system. The solar system can't be billions of years old with all these youthful features in it. Chris, everything fits the recent creation idea that we're taught when we go back to Genesis.
For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. More of a testimonial today, but it's evidence of God at work. We're talking about the Rawhide story, the new book, Our 351 Sons. John Gillespie is with us today. John is the co-founder of Rawhide. He, along with his wife, Jan. Jan went home to be with the Lord in 2017. And we're talking about the very amazing start of Rawhide, how this property was provided for them at half of an offer that the man had already pending, but had a burden, had a passion to reach young people, make a difference in the lives of young people. And we saw how God not only provided the initial earnest money, but also then that $2,000 that was needed as well. And that story continued to unfold. But there came a time, John, in which you encountered a legend from the Green Bay Packers in Super Bowls 1 and 2, a man by the name of Bart Starr, his wife Cherry, who became very instrumental in your ministry. So tell us, how did you meet them? How did you get them involved with Rawhide?
So you heard a couple of the miracles already, one of which was the $2,000 from Mr. Paul Patz. But that month went by pretty fast, and we were getting a lot of press at that point, but we still needed more time. And so I had given several talks to groups, and on two or three occasions, people came up and said, I was at an event, and Bart Starr was a speaker, and he mentioned that after football, he and his wife want to have a youth program, or maybe a youth ranch. Why don't you get a hold of Bart? I shared that with Jan, of course, and she said, oh, well, give him a call. Let's see if we can meet with him. I said, I'm working on finding somebody that knows him and Cherry personally to introduce us. She said, well, just call them and introduce yourself. And I said, well, okay, it doesn't work that way. So I continue to keep looking. And a couple weeks go by, and now we got to make a decision here. Did not have the name recognition to be starting to raise significant money. So I said to Jan, I can't find anybody to introduce me to Bart and Cherry. And she said, John, why don't you just call him? And I said, well, I don't have his number. She said, you call information. And I said, negatively, I said, well, let me show you. You can't get his number and information. So I called. And the operator said, here's the Star residence number. So I got the number. So I hung up and I said, I got his number. And Jan says, oh, good, call him. So I call. And a man says, hello. And I said, is this the Star residence? And the man said, yes. I said, is Mr. Star there? And the gentleman said, no Mr. Star here. Bart's here. And I said, oh, that's who I want to talk to. And the man said, well, you're talking to him. So I'm his age. I think Bart's about 6 months older. I was 27 at the time. Nervous as can be. And again, this is just before Super Bowl 1 and 2. He was kind of famous at the time. Mm-hmm. So I said to him a little bit what we were doing. I said, would it ever be possible to meet with you and your wife and talk more in more detail on how we'd like to ask you if you'd be interested in helping? And he said, yeah, you want to come over to our house right now? And I said, sure. He said, okay, here's where we live. So I write the address down. I hang the phone up and I say to Jan, yeah, I guess we can go right now to see him. And she says, oh, great. I wasn't like, I told you or anything. She just figured that's the way God would work. We drive over. Bart meets us at the door, takes us into the kitchen, and Cherry's making supper. And I said, we'll make our presentation quick so we don't mess up your supper plans. Cherry says in her southern drawl, if you all make your presentation fast, you're going to mess up our supper plans because you're having supper with us. Wow. Here's Bart and Cherry Starr. Bart hangs up the phone and says, young couple are coming to talk about a youth ranch. Let's have them stay for supper. And so we sit down at the couch, and I go through a three-ring binder and talk about our concept of how the ranch would work, that it would be faith-based with staff that know and love Jesus Christ, that it would be teaching young men to work, to be good workers, to be good students. And every time I made a point, three times in a row, Cherry said, "Oh, Bart, that's just what we believe. Oh, Bart, that's just what we believe." After the third time, he put his hand in the middle of my three-ring binder, and he turned to Cherry, who was at his right. Bart was at my right. And he said to Cherry, "Cherry, don't tip our hand until we see the bottom line." So I continued. I was about done at that point. And he said, "Well, what do you need from us?" And I said, "Bart, everything. We don't have name recognition. I don't know how to set up a nonprofit board. We just need help with everything." He looked back at Cherry, and I peeked, and Cherry did a little tiny nod of her head. I wasn't even sure that it was an acknowledgement to him, but it was. And he turned back and said, "Oh, John, I guess we're on board. Let's go eat supper and talk about how we can build this thing." So there's, Jim, this book is filled with miracles like this that just are amazing. And that's what we're hoping to share with people around the country.
By the way, tell us, how did you come up with the name Rawhide?
Well, we wanted a name that didn't sound like the Sunny Hill Children's Home. No offense. But we wanted something that guys would be proud of. Rawhide is leather in its unfinished form, just like these young guys. And it's Western. And the Rawhide program was kind of popular back at that time. So that was the name that we picked, and it's stuck.
So you had $2,000 monthly payments to make, and I understand you got behind on those payments.
We were 3 months behind. Ray Carlson was so excited about this, he let us move out there and start the program on a land contract. Nothing legal. And we agreed to raise $2,000 a month to pay against the property. And we had that set up with a contract. But after 2 or 3 months, we didn't have the money to keep that up. So we were like over 3 months behind on payments. And we had a deadline that on a certain date, we had to have a minimum of $20,000 or else we would have to leave the property. So I shared that with Bart Starr, and Bart talked to Vince Lombardi, and they agreed to Vince and Bart agreed to talk to the team about this. And so they set up to have a luncheon at a noon on a Monday. And it turned out to be the very day we had to have $20,000 at the Left Guard in Appleton. And about a dozen of the players came to it. And most of them brought a business person with them. And Bart presented the concept and that we needed to raise $20,000 by that day. At 5 o'clock, the banker was there, Mr. Carlson was there, and we weren't sure if we were going to go back to pack our bags or go to the bank and sign a mortgage note. So, and Bart's not pushy at all, and I'm hoping that I'm not either. So pretty low-key luncheon and presentation. And then Bart said, meeting is over. If you'd like to leave a check with us for this property, you can bring it up. And if we aren't able to raise the $20,000, we will get your checks back. So people brought him up checks. Gentleman hung around and said, "Can I find out how much you've got?" And so Bart said, "Sure." So we totaled up. We had $14,000. And this was Mr. Julius Johnson, J.O. Johnson from Appleton. He had a big sewer contracting business. He said, "I'll give you the other $6,000."
Wow.
So he wrote out a check. Now, back 50 years ago, that's a lot of money.
Sure is.
And well, it is today, too. But so he wrote out the check. We went down to the bank, and about an hour ahead of the deadline, we were able to put the property on a mortgage. So
just, another miracle from the Lord.
Oh, it's unbelievable. All of us, everybody there was saying, "Oh my goodness, this is what a miracle.
God at work." And folks, this is all in the book, Our 351 Sons. Be ready to jot down some information because we'll tell you how you can obtain a copy of the book. John, so the down payment was made. You had that traditional mortgage then that was worked out. And so we're going to go a couple years into Rawhide's ministry. It was year number three when your wife, she was working very, very much. I mean, preparing the meals, doing all the wash, and the board came and said, "John, we're going to let Jan, your wife, hire a housekeeper."
Oh, this, Jim, this was, of all the stories in the book, there's 157 stories in this book. Many of them are miracle stories like this.
Yeah.
And this was one of the best. And Jan was so excited. We had, by this time, two boys of our own, a second grader and a three-year-old. And we had eight or ten boys, teenage boys, living with us. So we had at least a dozen at every meal. Jan had no housekeeping help. We were naive enough to think we could teach the boys how to do laundry. If you're listening to my voice and you have raised teenagers, you know only one in 100 boys will do laundry. But anyway, Jan was working so hard, and she is such a person of faith. A week after the excitement of being able to hire a housekeeper, I said, how are you doing on a housekeeper? She said, oh, John, it's all under control. So I said, oh, great. So a week later, I asked her the same question, and she said, John, don't worry about it. It's all okay. I said, well, okay. A week later, I'm now a week from the next board meeting, and the board's going to be excited about learning if we had a housekeeper. And I said, Jan, now you've got to give me more details. What's going on with the housekeeper? Have you run an ad in the local newspaper? She said, no. I said, have you called any ministers or priests to get referrals? She said, no. I said, why? She said, John, I'm working 14, 15 hours a day. I don't have the time to interview a dozen ladies and spend an hour with each and then do reference calls. I said, well, how are you going to get a housekeeper? She said, I'm asking God to send me a housekeeper. I said, well, who have you told this to? She said, you are the first person I've told it to, and I'm not happy about telling you. And I said, okay. And I'm thinking, nothing I can do about that. 2 days later, Jim, we're at the table, whole dozen of us sitting around. A little white Volkswagen pulls into the driveway. It was a circle drive that comes right up to the door by the dining room. Lady gets out, so Jan gets up to greet the lady and opens the door. And the lady says, are you Mrs. Gillespie? Jan says, I am, but please call me Jan. She said, my name is Bernice Besch. I live about 5 miles from here with my family. We are active at the Assembly of God Church in Appleton. And she said, I'm in charge of housekeeping and food service at the Embassy Motor Lodge in Appleton. And she said, I've been there about 4 or 5 years. And she said, I don't understand this, but I've read about what you're doing in the paper and that you're presenting Christ. And I have had a tug at my heart for the last month to see if you need a housekeeper.
My.
Now, I can't tell this story today without tearing up.
Yeah.
And here's what my wife said. Oh, come in. I've been waiting for you. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Bernice worked for us for about a year and a half. Her husband was not well. They had to move to Arizona at that time. We lost contact with her for about 40 years. And I tried to get in contact with her to get an okay to tell the story in the book. Couldn't find her. Jan passed away after a 10-year bout with cancer a year ago. And at I'm in the receiving line out of a big turnout at the Appleton Lions Church for her services. And a lady said, John, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Bernice Besch. She said, I worked for you. And I said, I not only remember you, I'm going to tell the story of you coming to Rawhide in the service today. And she said, oh, that'll be wonderful. And she said, I kind of lost track, and she said, my husband passed away, and I moved back a couple of weeks ago. And so I'm just back now settling down into Appleton. So 40 years go by, she shows up at Jan's funeral.
My.
Amazing.
Amazing, and certainly told her also that you had a chapter about her in your book that you needed permission for the grant,
yeah.
And she did that as well.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
And just an amazing story of mm-hmm. God at work. We're just seconds from a break here, but there is another story I'm going to want to have you tell here right after the break, and it deals with you call it Use Cars to the Rescue. And so we're going to be talking right. about that and the impact of car donations for Rawhide as well. And also folks will tell you how you can get a copy reserved of our 351 sons, certainly that of helping youth grow by learning to serve others. The Rawhide story today on Crosstalk. John Gillespie is our guest. We'll be back in just 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
Evolution as an idea is considered a rock-solid truth among secular scientists. But when you begin looking at the evidence and asking simple questions, you find their conclusions to be just fragile assumptions, unproven myth, and outright misconceptions. Like a glass house on shifting sands. In the book, Glass House, General Editors Ken Ham and Bodie Hodge along with a team of credentialed scientists, researchers, and biblical apologists, take on the pillars of evolution. The truths they reveal decimate Darwin's beliefs using a biblical and logical approach to evidence. Learn what science is and how science is actually devastating to evolution. You'll also learn how evolution developed from unproven science to a popular and cultural worldview. Copies of Glass House are available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Well, friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and if you thought that God was only at work in biblical times, I trust today's program is helping you to understand that God is at work today as well. And we talk about so many different issues and matters that are impacting us across the nation today. Let's just sit back and reflect on the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and certainly a God at work as we're seeing that exhibited through the Rawhide story. The book, Our 351 Sons, John Gillespie with us today on the program. And John, I there is another area I want to hit, and we'll open up some phone lines here as well in a short time, but chapter 8 in your book, and we're jumping ahead lots of chapters, but chapter 8 in your book is called Use Cars to the Rescue, and it was around year 10 of Rawhide that this organization, Rawhide Boys Ranch, was actually losing a lot of money every single year, and the bank said, you've got to increase your income. Tell us the story.
We were losing about $25,000 a year, and the program had grown a lot, and so it was becoming very costly to run the program. We were getting great results for the kids, but struggling financially. So Jan and I were at a youth conference in Oklahoma City, watching TV for a few minutes in our room, and a TV ad came on by a sports celebrity from the Oklahoma City area, and he was asking for people to donate a dozen cars to the Oklahoma City youth program, Boys and Girls Youth Program, for vocational training. Mm-hmm. And I said to Jan, this might be the answer. She said, what? I said, that ad, get people to donate cars to Rawhide. Came back, talked to Bart, and he said, oh, let's make some little one-minute TV spots and see if we can raise some cars. We would always get four or five cars a year without asking for them. So I thought if we could get a car a week and sell it for $500 average, that would be our $25,000. And so the made some cute little TV spots, put them on TV. We started getting, within 3 or 4 weeks, we were getting a car a day. Within 3 months, we were getting three cars a day. By the end of the first year, we were getting, we had gotten about three, instead of 50 or 100 cars, we were getting about 2,000 cars at end of that first year. Totally out of control. We had to get trucks, et cetera. But we way more than covered our $25,000 loss. And that program has become amazing. The Wisconsin Auto and Truck Dealers Association, 800 memberships around the state, have adopted us. And they would collect cars, and we would pick them up. And it has turned into a huge fundraising support to Rawhide. Cute story about Ernie Von Schladorn down here in your area. Ernie calls me one day and says, John, are you the Rawhide guy in the car ads and stuff? I said, yeah. He said, I've got some cars I want to give you, but you got 24 hours to get them off my lot. And I said, okay, where are they and where are the keys and who do we see and how many cars you got? And he said, you come and see so-and-so, he'll give you the keys. We got 100 cars. You got to have them off in 24 hours. So send my car guy down with a couple of staff, and they check this out. They go a quarter mile down the road. They find an empty industrial parking lot. They get permission to park the cars there. We take all our staff down, and we drive those cars. Everyone drove. We drive those cars down, and we had them off the same day that he called me in the morning.
Right.
And so Ernie's become a big supporter of Rawhide.
Right.
But this car program has been wonderful, and because it tells a story in Chapter 8 about the wonderful thing these dealerships had done. A lot of the dealerships want books. They want cases of the books to give out to their key customers. So, again, who would have thought that used cars, we're the first charity in the nation to advertise for used cars. Mm. Now everybody does it. It's a good deal. It's a win-win.
And Bart Starr was intimately involved with that as well, with his own vehicle.
Well, that's right. Bart donated his Super Bowl II Corvette, and we were able to raffle it off. It raised $40,000 at a dollar a ticket, and that also was at a time where we needed that extra money. And so, and then Bart himself made many, many ads for the cars.
So. Yeah. Now, John, when we talk about Rawhide Boys Ranch, it's more than just helping troubled young people that got in trouble with the law or coming from tough family situations here. You really had a spiritual impact in the lives of the young people that came through Rawhide.
Well, absolutely. We presented Jesus Christ through the lives of our staff. Mm-hmm. We didn't pressure the boys to accept Christ. They very quickly, I mean, like 75% of them very quickly saw there was something different about the staff.
They experienced love that they hadn't seen before.
Yes, and almost every boy that comes to live with us has been in other places. And so they see a spirit of difference in Rawhide, and they very quickly see that it's just our love for Jesus. So it's an opportunity for us to share Christ. And we get permission from the parents for the boys to attend church with our house parents from their house. Mm-hmm. And these are Bible-believing churches. And I think in the years that I've been there, one or two parents said, well, no, we're atheists and we don't want our son to go to church. And we said, okay. But then when those boys saw the other kids really having fun going to church and out to dinner and et cetera, they just put pressure on the parents to get an approval. But we never went against the wishes of the parents, mm-hmm. even if we didn't agree.
John, your book is titled Our 351 Sons. Did you really have 351 young people?
Jan and I personally, over 27 years, had 8 to 10 boys at a time. It averaged about 10 a year. Mm-hmm. And they would stay a year or so with us. And so we literally had 351 different boys that lived with us in our home, and we were mom and dad to them. And about 18 of them are featured in the book, in their stories. And all 18, and they're all around the country, a lot of them in Wisconsin, but every single one of them said, John, when you go out and start doing signings and presenting the book, I want to go with you. I want to autograph, and I'll tell them to see page 210. That's my story. So that will be fun when we start doing that.
Well, John, your book, Our 351 Sons, hardback book?
Hardback book. And top quality book, yeah.
Some 330 pages, 130 colored pictures, 157 amazing stories pointing out blessings from God and certainly God at work in how this all came together. How can listeners obtain the book?
They can go to the website. We have a book website, and it's www.our351sons.com. And then it's a very simple website. They can click on a video on that opening page, see a little testimonial video from Bart and Cherry Starr and Jan and I, and hosted by Chuck Woolery, the old Love Connection guy, a Christian guy that's friend of ours, friend of Rawhide's. So, and they can just put in their name and their email, and then the book will be out in about 6 weeks, and we will let them know by email that when they're ready, they can order one. If they want an autograph, they can let us know what it should say in there, and we'd be glad to ship them one out as soon as we can.
Okay, so by going to that website, and we'll give it to you again, folks, you can just put in your name and email address. Mm-hmm. You'll be notified when the book is available, and you'll have the opportunity at that to say yes, let's go for it, or not at that point.
Sure, mm-hmm. That's right. And there are some additional pages if they want more information and some really nice pictures. They can click on the headings up at the top and look at some other things. On every page, it will say click to be notified when the book is available. So very simple, and it's an easy website to navigate.
Our351sons.com. That's O-U-R, Our351. That's 351, Our351sons.com. And let's go to the phone lines here today. We're opening them. If you have a question you'd like to ask, maybe you've been blessed and encouraged by the story, and we have just scratched the surface, John.
Let me touch on one thing, Jim.
Sure. Let me give out our number, and then we'll have you share that. Our number here to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829.
This is a great book to buy for friends to buy for friends that have children, for grandparents to buy for their kids who may have kids, or just to give to people, because it shares the love of God and the blessings of this program without being like a preachy book. But you can't read this book without realizing, I think there is a God at work here.
Oh yeah, and you name him in the book, and certainly you see lives being impacted as a result. Your wife had a certain saying that she had in her cupboard door:
"Those that deserve love least need it most." Hmm. And that was in her cupboard for the 27 years we were house parents out there.
Say it again:
"Those that deserve love least need it the most." And those young men coming in, many would come to us in police cars and handcuffs and chip on their shoulder. And usually it just took a week or two for them to start to melt and to change their approach. And when they started to get excited about themselves and life, and one of the concepts, there's eight different things we touch on in the book that any family can use to build family unity and to raise children of any age. And one of the things that has been a real success for us is we teach these young men the joy of serving others.
Mm-hmm.
And we do all kinds of community. We build habitat homes. We do things that most children's programs would not be doing, and it really excites the kids.
So this book is one that can be utilized then in such a way to build that up in that spirit and to see families unified. We see so many families that are just being torn apart today, and teaching these biblical principles within that home will make a huge difference.
And they're very practical things that a family can do. They can start when children are 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. They might adopt a couple of elderly people in a nursing home that have no families and go once a month or twice a month and visit with those families. They take the family dog. And as their children of any age start to see the joy that they can bring to somebody sitting in a nursing home all by themselves, it changes their heart. That's somewhat of the concept of this, why Rawhide's so successful. 8 out of 10 of the boys that come to us for 3 months or longer are never back in trouble again the rest of their life. The success rate is amazing.
Why?
Because in many cases, they accept Jesus. But even if that doesn't happen while they're with us at Rawhide, they still start to see that they can achieve positive things in their life by having a different attitude.
So the boys were placed in Rawhide by the courts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And was there an issue with your teaching through the court's perspective, teaching biblical principles, teaching about God at Rawhide?
Never had a problem. Never once. We anticipated it. We never had it. Because we were so successful, people just thought, well, whatever they're doing, we're not going to mess it up.
Our phone number to Crosstalk here today is 800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask, maybe it's just a comment. Have you been blessed by the testimony from our guest here today, John Gillespie, giving the Rawhide story, our 351 sons? Our number here is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Mike is calling from Milwaukee. Mike, go ahead. You're on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim and John. John, I've donated many cars to Rawhide over the year, and getting back to Bart Starr, he treats every person just like you and your wife had met him. He was always kind, and Mrs. Starr, I mean, just two fine Christians, and he's ending up a little down in health, but what a legacy he has. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for the call. And that's absolutely true. Anybody that has met Bart and Cherry understand that they are the most down-to-earth people and just lovely, lovely Christian people.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call here today. Our number, 800-733-9829. And we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back here with our final segment. So if you'd like to get online, just, again, if you have a call of encouragement today, how today's program has been a blessing to you, pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. And don't forget the website and obtaining a copy of the book, Our 351sons.com. That's OUR351sons.com. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. A couple weeks ago, we held our national Ozarks conference, and our theme was Holocaust Horizon. We picked the theme a year in advance, and we told our listening friends that by the time the conference arrived, anti-Semitism and Christian persecution would be on the front page across the globe. And indeed, that has happened. When we assembled at the conference, we had seen, at that point, 11 Jews killed in their synagogue, October 2018, in Pennsylvania. The week before our conference, a Jewish lady was killed in a synagogue in San Diego. A couple weeks before our conference, 200 to 300 Christians were killed in Sri Lanka. How is it we knew that this anti-Semitism and Christian bigotry and persecution would rise? Because the Bible tells us this will happen. There indeed is a Holocaust on the horizon. The Bible makes it very clear. The question is, will we be a part of this false dominant church and the persecution, or will we come out of it and be ye separate?
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. John Gillespie is with us today in studio, going through and recounting the Rawhide story, and certainly it's a story of God at work, not only in the many miracles that came about for the beginnings of Rawhide and how God used he and his wife Jan, but wow, what an eternal difference being made in the lives of many, many young people who are now in their adult years and serving in a variety of ways. We're taking your calls today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Inez, who's calling from Butler. Hi, Inez, you're on the air.
Hi. I gave a horse and a pony to Rawhide many years ago.
Oh.
My daughter taught the horse to stop barking, and she taught it to jump, and it was in a show in Waukesha at the ranch.
Wow. Well, thank you very much.
I know they had a wanting of cars, but we gave the horse and the pony.
That's wonderful.
That has horsepower too, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Thank you, Inez. Appreciate your call today. Let's go to Pete, who's calling from Alabama. Pete, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I tell you, this program is such a blessing. I have sat here teary-eyed listening to this Rawhide episode, and I'm telling you what, it just blessed my heart so much. It's just wonderful to hear wonderful programming on the airways. I can't say enough about it, and I appreciate it, and I thank God for y'all, and I wish y'all all the continued success. I am a contributor, and I am proud of it.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful.
Thank you, Pete, for your call here today. 800-733-9829 is our phone line here to Crosstalk today. John Gillespie with us, and as we talk about 351 sons, and you talked about the vast majority never then entered the prison system again, never went back into the court system again, but lives that are being transformed. And you, even on the back of your jacket, have some brief sketches on some of the fellows that came through your house, and certainly you write about them in your book as well.
As I mentioned, we have about 18 boys that are featured in the book, and varying backgrounds. We could have talked about 50 or 100, but of the 351, yeah, we feature four. David Kloss currently lives in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and David is creeping up on 60 years old. He has MS quite bad, and he, after a teenage terrible time, a lot of trouble with the law, got his life turned around, married a wonderful lady, and he contacted me 6 months ago and said, John, I'm going to write a song about Rawhide. Make a long story short, he wrote a song called I'm a Rawhide Guy. You can read it on the he listened to it on the website, and you can see David singing it from his wheelchair. It's fantastic. It's become the theme song of Rawhide.
Let's go to Sherry in West Dallas, Wisconsin, and Sherry, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, I just wanted to let you know that I listened to your program, and it was great, and it's very true. I moved here from Manitowoc, and it was a miracle from God. I thought it would never happen, but when God decides, miracles just happen one after another, just like your wonderful story. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Gertrude is calling next. Hi, Gertrude, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to call in and just say, I remember when you were first getting started there at Rawhide, our single son was working over in that area in Manawa, and he was approached to come and help. And I remember him telling about staying there at nights, and he did that for a while. But it was a good experience for him.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful.
Well, I'm just thankful he had a heart for those boys.
That's great. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call here today.
Sure.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
If you missed the website, we'll be giving that here momentarily. And as John mentioned, several stories are in the book of young fellas who came through Rawhide. Let me just share a couple more things. Here's one, Roger Davenport. I was arrested for vandalism, theft, and selling drugs. I was sent to Rawhide. My wife Sue and I started a company, retired in our 50s, founded a charity to take disabled U.S. veterans on hunting trips. Here's another one. I was in a gang and arrested many times. A judge sent me to Rawhide. My house father, Jeff Stump, became the dad I never had, and I learned Jesus cared for me. He married a pastor's daughter, now a pastor at a church as well. These are lives, John, that have been impacted for the gospel, for Jesus Christ, through that through a couple that says, "Lord, we're willing to do what you want us to do," and that motto that your wife had, "Those who deserve love least need it the most." How God used your faith and just your willingness to see lives impacted for eternity.
When we were married, we decided to select a lay first, and we chose Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Mm-hmm. We had no idea that our path would be to start a boys' ranch.
Yeah.
We had no idea. But that's exactly what God knew we could do and we would want to do. So we just thank him for that truth in that verse.
And it's all glory to the Lord for what he's done through Rawhide.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. John, with just the minute that we have left here on the broadcast today, what are you hoping this book will accomplish?
Well, we hope that it will give families new ideas on how to unify, how to raise children to be a godly people. We want this book to be shared with people that especially don't know Jesus, and they can see through the practical stories here about how God can direct our lives if we ask him to. Mm-hmm. And we want to bring more awareness about the ministry of Rawhide, because we can work with kids from anywhere in the nation, and Rawhide's pretty well known in Wisconsin, but outside Wisconsin, real well known. So we want to raise more awareness.
Mm-hmm. John Gillespie with us here today, co-founder of Rawhide mm-hmm. Boys Ranch and author here, along with his wife, who helped put so many ideas into a print here prior to the Lord calling her home. It's called Our 351 Sons. And John, thank you so much for putting this in print and just really sharing with in glory to God the work that he's done.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here. Mm-hmm.
John Gillespie with us today. And again, folks, the website is our 351sons.com. Our 351sons.com. Our 351 sons. And you can learn more about the Rawhide story. And certainly you can go online there, put in your name and email address to be notified when the book is released here in the weeks to come. Well, our time is gone here, but certainly we do today's program in glory to God for the work that he has done. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.